That's Mono and High Life. Lovely 60s retro vibe there. Maurice Misielewski is in St Kilda, I think, because he never goes out. Maurice, you're the eternal flame. How are you?
And living the high life. Very good, thank you. And hello, everyone.
Hello. Good to be back with you. Well, it's one of our What's Going On things today. I want to point you, if you're listening to us now, why? I want to point you to a couple of cool articles Maurice has written. But first of all, tell us about the toys.
So what we had overnight our time was the annual event where Apple, that brand that puts out everything that everybody must have in technology, talked about all the new toys. About 6-7 weeks ago, you and I talked about the software, which again is an annual event, which is the stuff that goes inside of them for the next year. This is the stuff we can go out to the Apple retail stores and actually buy.
Right. So what were you hoping they would come out with? That's question one. And question two is the iPhone 16 just another, metered selling gimmick?
Don't ask me what I was hoping for, because Apple doesn't care. I was hoping for something inspirational and aspirational.
Like a jack plug in the bloody phone. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the old chestnut. We know. But I was hoping that Apple would do something extraordinary and there would be not a new iPhone. But, you know, when the iPhone first came out, or when their earbuds first came out, or when the watch first came out, it set the world alight. It was something we hadn't seen, something we didn't know we wanted, and all of a sudden we were standing in a queue desperate for it. This wasn't that. I mean, Apple always does great stuff. I'm not taking away anything from them. But honestly, for me, in a nutshell, it's kind of a little bit more of the same.
Have they done much?
16?
Have they done much with the iPad? Let's go there first, because I tell you what, you know, I'm always moaning about plugs and holes and stuff in phones. That's just me being an anorak. But when it comes to audiovisual, the iPad is a wonderful tool. No kidding.
It is. And they actually didn't announce very much for the iPad at all. That actually comes in a different version, maybe later this year.
Oh, yeah.
When they talk about MacBooks and iPads. But not a great significant change in those at all. This was really more about the phones, the earphones, and a couple of other things that they put out.
The earbuds have a brilliant Achilles heel. I mean, you could lose one. That just seems to be the thing that nobody talks about.
Yeah, it absolutely is, having done that already once. I'm trying very, very hard not to do that ever again. It does have features. It will tell you that if, you know, something's gone awry and you're outside of your limit, it'll actually beep at you and say you've lost it type thing. But, yeah, it's not great at jumping back in your pocket when you've lost it.
Go on then, tell us what you think.
Yep, so we are at the number 16. We have arrived. 16, can you believe? We've had 16 iterations of the Apple iPhone. Mm-hmm. And this one is called the iPhone 16, no surprise, and the iPhone 16, no surprise, Pro, word after it. And the Pro is, of course, the upmarket grand poobah. This is what you must have when money is no object. Start backwards and work forwards.
Yeah.
If you get the iPhone 16 totally kitted out with 1 terabyte of memory, which is the absolute max this thing will do, then Australian, it'll set you back $2,849.
See, it's getting very silly now.
It's getting X-y, isn't it? It's getting X-y. It's definitely toys for very expensive boys. Yeah.
You know, they have this part exchange thing they do, which is very much part of their shtick. I wonder if more people are doing that now. They're doing, you know, if you go on shop by mail services, it'll say reconditioned as new.
Yeah. So I actually don't have the figures for it, but I know there has been an appetite for it in the past. That's where they offer you the price I've just given you and then say, if you want to trade in the previous version, tell us a bit about, you know, dents, scratches and whatever else, and we'll give you some money back for it. That's been working well for them. They certainly are still using that model, but I actually don't know what the uptake of it's been.
It's interesting because they are rather dear. Now.
They are, but I've given you the top. So the iPhone 16 Pro, the bottom one, and this one will start at around $1,800, which is still X-y.
That's Aussie,
still
right?
Pricey.
That's Aussie.
It's Aussie right. Dollars. Yeah. And it goes on pre-sale on the 13th of this month, only 3 days away, and you can have it in your hot little hands, purses and briefcases on the 20th of September.
What about if we time release and stay a couple of generations behind? Therefore, if you want to get a new one, you might go for the 15th. 15 or something, which is super duper, let's face it.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. What they've done, actually, I know these things sound expensive, and they are. They're a lot of money. You could buy a serious laptop or maybe even two for that
price.
Oh,
yeah.
But they have actually, to their credit, they have kept the price to pretty much where it was last year. Extravagant,
well,
I know. But usually it goes up a lot more. So they've kept it up to where it is, and they've also, as they have done in the past, to your point, they've dropped the earlier version prices down significantly. And I absolutely agree. For me, and this is only my advice for what it's worth, the 16 is not worth the upgrade, but it certainly is if you're down around the 13s and 14s, if that makes sense. If you have an older phone that's going a bit slow and you want an upgrade, this is a perfectly wonderful, wonderful device to do it. If you're at 15 and happy, then unless you're a geek who really has to have the absolute newest and best, and then no advice makes any sense.
Well, they're the guys that they're pitching at, quite frankly. Connectivity is, I mean, I keep going back to audio visual because that's my bag, but connectivity is brilliant. USB-C, very fast, very reliable.
Yep, and we have that on this as well. So they've moved this one to USB-C now. There's also a titanium version in the Pro model, which is pretty much an Android catch-up. Hate to say it again, but Android's had that. Android's had that option.
Android users all over the world are saying that. I bet as well.
Me. So that's me. You know, let's give them some, you know, some good vibes, because they have done some really great things in this new phone, iPhone 16. There's a 48 megapixel camera. We take it for granted when we say that, but 48 megapixels is incredible.
What would a digi camera have been in the late 90s?
One. I mean, truly, we were buying them ones and twos, and we thought threes and fours were quite incredible. I remember those days vividly. We thought a 3-4 megapixel camera was God on earth, incredible.
Yeah.
48 megapixel now with a yawn, not because it's bad, because exactly as you just said, we take it for granted.
Yep.
This has the wonderful term, which you'll have to use now forever, called computational photography. Doesn't that just flow out of your mouth?
Not really.
Computational photography is what they're calling it, which is, as everything else in this, AI, but they call it Apple Intelligence. So this is Apple Intelligence.
Lawsuit. Can't you feel that coming?
This is the Apple Intelligence that looks at the photo you're about to take and says, Phil's taken a really good photo, but I think we could tweak it, while in between him pressing it and me showing it to him. I can look at the low light, you know, of it. I can adjust some blur and do some other stuff, and pretty much give him what I think, I being the AI, think that he really wants out of this incredible thing he's taking a picture
of. But once again, professionals won't be able to use that. If they work for wires and stuff, they're not allowed to go anywhere near filters and things.
Well, yes, that's true. And you can turn these off. So all these options have an off switch.
Okay.
But for most people, if it's a little bit less blurry, that would be a good thing. If the light was adjusted for them automatically, that would be a good thing. You know, red eye's pretty much a thing of the past now. That's gone. Yeah. So I did take my hats off. They have baked into this, and that's the big difference in 16, that all the previous versions, AI hasn't existed for a long time in mainstream, but last year's version really was using AI. This has it baked into its soul and heart. Every chip in this thing, every single little screw and nuance inside of it.
Is it a very flash AI toy, Morris?
Very flash, but does, and it's important because moving forward, AI is pretty much everything to everybody in technology. This is the first device from Apple that's a phone that absolutely from ground zero has been built to do what AI most probably will do for us for the next few years, which is another good reason for some people, I still don't think for everybody, in fact, for most people not, another good reason for some people to want to have this. But I'm not sensing that there will be a great uptake because of that.
It's another sort of example of where Android users are going, yeah, whatever, we've had that for ages.
Yeah,
are all of these companies really using the camera as their selling point?
Yes, because the phone's useless. I mean, no one uses a phone anymore. So we call it a phone. I mean, we're selling it. We know we're talking about it as an iPhone. In fact, it's anything but a phone. Of course, you can dial somebody, but it's just not used.
It's like it gets electrified when someone calls you, isn't it? Woo! And you chuck it on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, so old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Who has the audacity to phone me these days?
I wonder if they're going to run out of angles one of these days.
They most probably will, but they won't. Look, in this one, there's a lot of health features built into it, which is very much around the watch as well. Moving on to the watch, another thing they announced, the Apple Watch. You know, we're up to Series 10. We're up to the 10th incarnation. That was kind of the last big hurrah, something new and different, something the marketplace didn't need, didn't know it needed, and Apple gave it to them.
Morris has done a précis of this. You know, he's gone all the way around on his Is it the blog where we can find this, Morris?
It is. Yeah, morrisfuturist.com.
That's the one.
It actually it's gone up just in the last hour or so because this is so new.
I'm just flicking through it now. What else you got? Battery is an interesting one.
So the watch is important because that's very much into where all these devices are heading. It's all about health monitoring. It's about sleep apnea. It's about making sure that you've got your heart rate and everything tested and it's all as it should be.
Fair enough.
So the watch is faster. It is slimmer, and it is brighter than ever before. So that's round the watch again. Mm-hmm. Most probably worth upgrading if you want, if you've had your watch for quite a while. But end result is you'll still get pretty much the same apps and things on it. It'll just look better, work better. Mm-hmm. The AirPods were announced, a new version of AirPods, top and bottom, meaning a top model. What they have currently will go into the middle. There's a new top model they've arranged, and there's a lesser model around. Of course, the prices vary with each one of them. What we have in the top models are adaptive audio, which is, again, enhancing the noise, the sound, the music that we're hearing, and it also has the ability to filter out sounds, which is something people had for a long time, but these little devices we put in our ears are getting much, much better at noise cancelling, and this, I'm sure, because Apple does a really good job with their AirPods usually, this, I'm sure, will be another example of a really good set of AirPods. Same comment as before, if you've got existing ones, most probably not worth upgrading, unless, of course, you've lost one. But if you're looking for a set, I would certainly put these on the list of things you might compare other ones to.
I wonder is there a word for this kind of, it's not addictive marketing, because the people, they make people addicted to wanting the latest.
They did, but things have changed. It wasn't that, I actually don't think it was that long ago. I actually remember being in Hong Kong the last time I saw this was when there were queues.
Oh, yeah.
So traditionally on the 20th, which is the day I said these things would physically be available,
right. There
used to be queues around and around and around stores.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it in Singapore.
But, you know, a lot of these people are buying up shed loads to flog off to somebody
else. Sell to others. But there used to be. Those lines are not anywhere near as long anymore. Haven't been for years and years, but it's still part of that vast beautifulness, I think, of Apple, where these lines always used to be. Wherever I was in the world on the day of release, I always used to make my way to an Apple store around 7:30, 8 a.m. and take pictures of the long, long line. In Apple as well, some of the other announcements, again, to me, this is catch-up. I'm an Android user when it comes to phones.
Sure.
But what they've announced is a visual intelligence, their wording, visual intelligence, that allows your phone to work like what I call a telescope. You'll take a picture of something like a street sign, like something perhaps written in Cantonese, of a person or an object or a pair of shoes Phil's wearing because he's a really trendy dresser, and it'll tell you more about that. So it'll actually translate for you. It'll tell you where the shoes came from. It'll allow you to buy stuff. And you can do all of that with what's called visual intelligence. We've seen these in lots of Androids. We're going to see them more and more as an ordinary feature. In other words, have a look at this phone and tell me what I'm looking at and what I need to know about it and where I can get it.
I mean, it all sounds like glitzy toys. I'm not even being rude about it, but it really does sound like novelties on crack sort of thing.
Some of them are useful. When you need that little thing about tell me more about something, it's useful. I've used the Translate one quite a bit. I find that to be good. Occasionally, I must say, even I've clicked on something and said, what is this? Where can I get it? Type stuff. Horses for courses. It's not something I use a terrible lot, but I kind of like the fact it's there. And if I do remember, which isn't all that often, I can use it for what it wants to be.
Well, nice one. I'm looking forward to you telling us about the iPad one. Another thing that Morris has been writing about, I sort of did a really crummy segue here, Apple's new toys, future of homes, offices, workplaces in which they will or might live. So tell us about that article, Morris.
Yeah, so this is an article again at morrisfuturist.com and the blog. It's actually based on a keynote I delivered in Canberra last week, which was on the future of real estate 2030 and a bit beyond, as I titled it. What I was trying to do, or what I hopefully achieved, was to talk about the Australian landscape, because it is very much the Australian landscape. That's the built environment, the houses.
So different to here. So this is about Aussie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much. And it's different from most places in the world, because Australians have always had the dream for the quarter acre block. It's this hankering to own a piece of dirt that is very, very much part of the Australian psyche. Up until literally 20, 30 years ago, when it became uber expensive, everybody pretty much dreamt of it, had it, had to have it, and by the time they died, had to have their piece of paper that said they owned it. That was the way that we judged a good life in many ways. It was a clear title to a piece of quarter-acre block.
Right.
I argued in this conversation that, of course, that's become very, very difficult for many people now to be able to have. It used to be, in shortcutting, it used to be going back about 30 years or so. It took about 7 years' worth of salary to be able to afford a home, and you had a 25, 30-year lease. So that was quite achievable. That was doable, and that's why so many people achieved it.
Yeah.
Today, it's most probably between 12 and 17 years of a 30-year loan to pay it back, which means most people just can't. It's too much, and you've got to obviously pay for other things in life too.
Well, like if they've got children now who are clever.
Well, if they want food, forget children.
They go to uni and there's all sorts of...
Yeah, need shoes and all kinds of stuff, you know. So it's very, very expensive.
That's
kind of the reason this whole thing's shifting. We're moving into what's very Asian, very European. There's a lot of apartments being built now. There's a lot of people going into semi-high-rise, high-rise development, which again for us is new.
Yeah.
Talking about how it's going to push in. We also have a movement in Australia which is just taking off, been around Europe and other places, called Built to Rent, big in Asia as well, which is where a corporate or a government builds it, we rent it. We've never had a lot of that. We have about 2% of that in our entire stock across Australia of all the houses. I think it's going up to 10% in the next 10 or 15 years because people can't afford to buy the traditional house. Therefore, we're going back into these built environments, built to rent environments. Talked about that.
Very interesting, this, though. One of the paragraph titles here from Morris is Housing Demand and Affordability for Gen Z. You like talking about those demos, don't you?
Well, I do, because Gen Z's a really important one. We shouldn't take it for granted, because baby boomers, my generation, is leaving the workforce, is leaving the property, is doing all of that because we're moving into retirement. Mm-hmm. Gen Z's are the ones who are going to make all the decisions in the future. I mean, really, really recent, you know, future. Next year or two, 5 years, they're going to be in the boardrooms. They're going to be deciding what products are built, what's sold, what's done. So we really do have to start listening to them. And that was one of my big messages out of this keynote at the end was, apart from all the real estate stuff, which I'd love your listeners to have a read of, is that we now need to be really respectful and mindful that we're building this for Gen Zs. The housing market is for Gen Zs because baby boomers and previous generations are pretty much set up real estate-wise. These new generations now have to do it for themselves.
Mm.
So let's make sure that our built environments, all the things we need to live inside of, and this article also actually talks about retail, industrial as well, are geared towards these new generations with their ability to spend and to buy and with the things inside of them that they need to have.
Final word here, you talk about active homes. We've only got a little while left, but I want you to get into that for a few seconds.
Active homes is something I love talking about, which is pretty much everything. Talked about it for about 25 years, and that is that our homes have become not passive, which means we just walk inside and actually now have smart speakers. They have all kinds of devices. They're able to do all kinds of things, open curtains, close curtains, change temperature, understand if we've fallen over, if we're ill or infirmed at home. I'm talking very much about active homes.
Yeah.
That know the people inside them, know their habits, know the way they like to live, and can adjust accordingly. So it's almost like another person living in the house that kind of preempts what we want and gives it to us. And that's not about the size of the house. It's not about new or old, because we can retrofit small apartments, large apartments. Everyone is going to make more use of these things. And tying it back to Apple, with the devices that we have spoken about, a lot of them actually presuppose smart homes' existence, because they take your devices you carry around with you and do stuff for you either at home or on the road.
Much more to talk about there, Morris. Nearly time for the news though. Appreciate your time. Thanks for wetting our whistle. I'm looking forward to a few more chats about this kind of stuff. So for the time being, I'll let you go. That's Morris Misolowski live from St Kilda. Very hot, sunny.